Welcome to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's start shifting from yearning to powerfully earning and beyond. As we reclaim our financial power, we start making more, keeping more, and giving more. This is wealth to be lived, freedom to be enjoyed, and having the audacity to live richly abundant lives. How do you increase your earning power? Where does your creativity and financial destiny meet? If you're ready to be a richly abundant woman, dust off your moxie, pull up your spreadsheets, and crack open your journal. We need the templates, models, and the big ideas. Julie encourages listeners to break free from inherited beliefs that keep us making just enough to shifting us permanently into changing our financial destiny. Why yearn when you can powerfully earn? Get ready to shape your destiny into a vision of freedom and prosperity. Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman starts now.
Welcome, everybody, to a very special and impromptu episode of Richly Abundant Women. Today, we're going to talk about money smarts in times of radical change. I'm wondering if we should even call it times of rapid change, right? We're on this crazy wild ride. So I wanted to bring someone very, very, very special on air with me. And that is Scott Warner, and he is my financial guru. I call him my money dad, and he's also an investment genius. He is a licensed fiduciary and insurance money investment wealth and prosperity guy. He's been doing this for over 30 years, and I had the gift of meeting Scott when I met my husband. It was a gift with purchase, if you will, that Scott came into the picture. And I can one of the reasons that my late husband and Scott get along so well is it's always about the laughter, right? And keeping things light, being smart, but keeping things light. So we just felt like, you know, this is such a powerful time and there's so much shifting and so many variables and dynamics and layers of complexity happening with money, with the stock market, with our economy, with stimuluses, with watching things like the market skyrocket by 3,000 points and drop by 2,900 points, like within hours in the same day. And whether you watch the stock market or not, what's happening in our world with the world sort of closing borders and shutting down and encouraging everybody to disconnect, I'm kind of radical and want to say, no, let's connect and let's talk about this because it's having an effect on our money. Personally, professionally, you know, especially my heart hurts for deeply heart-centered, mission-driven, entrepreneurial women and anybody else who's out there in business for themselves, right? Because this changes everything. This puts a damper on cash flow. It creates financial challenges left and right. And it really makes us question what's going on with our money system. And so I couldn't think of anybody better to come in and talk about that than having Scott. So I want to welcome you to the show, Scott.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yes. And I love that you have a cheetah over your shoulder.
That's a little piece of the trip that you couldn't go on right now. And, you know, so it's hope, right. It's meant to bring hope.
Yeah. Thanks for rubbing it in. No, that's okay. So let's talk about this. So I want to know, I've watched this happen before with the stock market and the World Trade Center. And you and I even had a conversation about when Obama was in office and the swine flu. Why is there such an impact on the economy, on the stock market when these things happen? Like, why doesn't the money system stay stable? I'm just really curious about that.
Well, I think right now, for sure, we're in full-blown panic because this one is unknown as to how far it'll go. And yeah. So it's taking every bit of precautions. And so because it's forcing everybody, even government mandated now, to shut down everything, that ripples everything. And then of course, I believe because we've been on such a long, fantastic bull market that was still going and still would be going, that people became accidentally complacent about thinking it always goes up and probably have a little bit too much risk that they should have depending on their age and situation, that they didn't plan enough for these black swine type unknown things that could happen. And so it just hit out of the blue, kind of like the planes flying into the buildings, and yeah. It really just surprised everybody. And so instead of being, for those that aren't plans or have plans, and just kind of being in the market without really understanding why we're there other than you want to make some money, those people obviously are panicking and pulling out. And so there's an implosion of pulling out, which is further. So you have two things going on, right? You have the businesses scared. People are getting out because they're buying stocks on true merit profits and all that. We know this is going to take a dip now. But the other people are just panicked because it is going down and just running for the hills and getting out. And so that perpetuates the exponential down. So we got all that going on right now.
So it's like a double dip on the.
Yes, totally. Yes, very much so.
When you say black swan, what is that? I've heard you say that before. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I'd love to really understand that more clearly.
It's just a term that was given. I'm not even sure how long it's been around, but it's just a term we've used or heard in the industry of when we're trying to plan for people's retirements, which mainly what we do. You can kind of get to know when recessions are coming, or maybe when depressions are coming, and slowly things turn, you know, start to turn, and there's some preparing, or your plans are already built in to protect from those in the event that they do happen, instead of just pedal the metal. So it's just a term used of absolute unknown things. Could be weather things. Just, you know, remember when they were mailing out all that stuff during the Obama administration, or during the Bush administration too, of like poison in the mail, right? It's like all these funny, crazy.
Anthrax.
That just happened, that, you know, could be a big weather thing, or, you know, all the fires in Australia. I mean, there could be all kinds of things that are just, we don't see coming. I mean, the 2008 kind of was that way. People didn't really realize how manipulative banks and industries were, and the no-down loans and no-cost loans, and it just built a big bubble. And it just,
you're referring to the stock market. I'm sorry, yeah. The real estate market. You're referring to real estate and all the loans that shouldn't have been made.
Yeah. So that was kind of
people that got forgiven. Yeah.
That was kind of a man-made black swan, if you will. These other ones, this virus is, I wouldn't say man-made, but it's certainly contagious by man and going on and on. Obviously, the planes and the hostage situation or wars can be a black swan event that all of a sudden strike or something. So just a term for out of the blue, unknown things that can really devastate times. But usually they're somewhat short-lived in recovery. Yeah. And so this is really a time to really for people to really assess why they were investing. And we can talk about that a little bit later, why they were investing and what the money was for and the values of what they're trying to accomplish with that money is as important as rates of return and how great they were doing, really, and evaluate how long they have before they need that money, or do they have enough cash reserves, or so I'm not saying that everybody should just stick it out and stay in, but it's certainly a time that everybody should review or reevaluate what they have and why, and then kind of go, ooh, well, we never planned about this. Now we need to plan, and maybe for some people it will be moving and changing to get prepared for when it does recover and recover in a different way, instead of just sitting in the things that they have that maybe weren't that great to begin with, but did well because everything did well. But it really just had no rhyme or reason as to why they were in it or the purpose of the money, other than we all want money to go up and make money, but that's not a big purpose.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is, I want to ask you about history too, but before we do that, what I'm hearing you say is something really interesting here, which is something I think people could take note of and get some value out of, like, what can I do about it right now? Right. And that is that this is an opportunity. Like, if you have investments or you don't have investments, I think a lot of people act the same way, whether they're actually in the stock market or they have mutual funds or they have IRAs or they have insurance products or annuities, or they don't have any of that and they have savings accounts. And it's like making money for making money without an objective attached to it or without a future goal in mind. So you're saying there's an opportunity here to kind of take a step back now that there's this big fluctuation, black swan flying around. And even if you haven't ever done it before, there's still an opportunity, right, to plan in a kind of specific way so that you don't get caught off guard regardless of your income level. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I would say that majority of people that are actually in the market, consumer-wise,
yeah,
really aren't there with any kind of plan other than they have an IRA and they know they should put it away and they've been told to save for the future or 401k and all those habitual things. But and those are just tools. So the stock market right. is a tool. Many different tools mm-hmm. in there. But I'm saying
money is like, a tool.
Yeah. But I'm saying things like they could have examples of some of it might be for a growth strategy. Some of it might be for principal protection. Some of it might be for their kids' college strategy. Some is tax strategy, inflation strategy, charitable strategy.
Philanthropy.
Yeah, debt reduction strategy. And you can't have all that just in one bucket all with the same risk because some things are for later and some things are for now and some things need to be safe and others can take a little more risk. So I think most people, at least that we work with, are people that have accumulated some money or on their way to accumulating some money. And so they already have some sort of tool.
Yeah.
But they don't really know why they have it other than when someone get asked their age and how long they might want to go on a, you know, five questions. And they say, sure, we'll sell you this. Not right. bad people, but I think the planning is the part that's missed or the values of it. Like, yeah, you want to retire. But why do you want to retire? And if you were retired, what would that mean to you? Is that more time with your grandkids, more time with your spouse? And how does that, I think we need to work from the inside out. And then we put you in the buckets that help you get to the outside so that you can accomplish what you want to feel on the inside as opposed to.
Okay. Now you're talking my game, right? This is what I love this. And thank you. This is what this whole idea of being richly abundant women or anybody who's listening right now or will listen about these money challenging situations is take a breath and understand that something's happening. Okay, great. There's an opportunity to assess. But I love what you're saying here about what's going on inside of you that you want to create in the future and have your money strategy, regardless of what that is, map to or support that coming into reality. So our story is, you know, you and Regan already had a relationship and I come in the picture. And we got engaged within 6 months. It went really quick. He had a special needs child. And we had a very specific goal in mind. He and I were on the exact same timeline and page financially. We're both like, we want to retire. He wanted to stop being a school teacher. He hit his 30 years in the system. And he's like, that's it. I'm tapping out. I don't like what it's become. I don't want to do that anymore. And I was like, I've been trying to get out of corporate 2 weeks after I got in. I'm like, you know, okay, 47 years, here we go, or 25 years, here we go. But you asked us this question. I remember talking to you, sitting at our kitchen table, talking about this and said, what are your objectives? And we both looked at each other and it was like, we want to globetrot, but we don't want to work and we don't want to ever go back to work and we need cash flow. And you go, great, here's what we do, whipped out the cocktail napkin, the proverbial cocktail napkin, and gave us an answer. And so talk a little bit about risk and strategy. Like how would it be empowering for people to think about that, knowing that you're someone that's steeped in this and you know this stuff inside and out. What would you say to somebody?
Yeah, so I mean, yes, it comes from the inside, and then how you prepare for those things is I think we concentrate the most on investments. But when you're near retirement, whatever the age that is, and for whatever purpose it is, the one thing you got to remember is it's not about investments at that moment. It's about income. How do you transfer your investments, whatever they are, into a check fictitiously to your mailbox that's going to last you the rest of your life, is guaranteed, like a Social Security or pensions, those would be versions of that. But for many people, they'll get those, but it's not quite enough to replace the paycheck when they walk out the door and say, I'm done. We need something. So I believe that works the best is when you have as close as you can, your monthly everyday budget is guaranteed that you have it. So like right now when the black swan thing is hitting for most retirees that have their income covered, they can turn off the valve of the extras, maybe not go on a vacation or do something on their investments, let them recover. But all their bills are paid and all their necessities paid because they got Social Security, pension, or we've created a private pension or some other source to say, hey, no matter what happens to the economy or the market, you still get your $8,000 a month or $6,000 a month or whatever that is. so that you don't have to worry about these things. The problem is that many people leave it all in the market and keep doing the investment strategy and stay with the same people that help them accumulate money versus someone that's more in the line of distribution and protection mode. And it's pretty easy when you think about it conceptually to accumulate a lot of money. If you start in your 30s and start saving for 40 years, right, it doesn't really matter what vehicle you're in. Some will give you more notes. You'll have something. It's another thing to turn off the switch and go, okay, this is all the money we're going to live, honey. And one of us is going to live to be 90. Do we have enough to last 30 years with cost of life going up and guarantees and healthcare worries and long-term care and inflation and all those kinds of things? So we look at all those kinds of things. But again, it's all back to driven, what's of value to you? And I ask lots of men, especially, why do you want to retire? Just because you want to quit isn't a good enough reason, because quitting and not having a second full passion of doing something, your life will come to a short end and it's not fun.
Yeah.
You got to have a reason or keep working, because you can never probably have too much money. So keep working. But it gives you value. I mean, I used to interview a lot of men in Home Depot that are 65, 75, and like, turns out these guys all got pensions and plenty enough money. But they quit that job and they lost their value of who they were as a human. And they sat at home for 2 years doing nothing. They're over there just mixing paint to give value and have a reason to put their feet on the ground every day and do something instead of do nothing.
Yeah. I love what you're saying here. And we're going to go to a quick break and we're going to leave everybody with this thought of what is it on the inside that you really want, that you can get the tools out there in the money world to support you in having. And so you're listening to Julie Steelman and Scott Warner on Richly Abundant Women. And when we come back, we're going to talk about creative ways you can get access to cash right now. So stay tuned.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune into Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit LivingYourGifts.com. That's LivingYourGifts.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Break your snooze button habits for good with the Soul Stretching Sisters on the I Am Power Hour with me, Terry J. Walker.
And me, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories.
Aspire higher.
And live a whole lot larger.
To help you unleash your powered up,
pumped up, I Am Soul Stretching Success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Welcome back to Richly Abundant Women. I am Julie Steelman. I am here with a very special guest, Scott Warner. He is my personal financial advisor. What he has done for me financially has transformed my life. And I feel like we're in this time of uncertainty, of unknown, of rapid and radical change. And we wanted to do this impromptu show for you about money smarts during these times. And so before the break, we were talking about why the stock market fluctuates like it does and why our money system has reactions to these big epic things, radical changes that are happening in our world. And Scott was sharing with us about that. And he was talking about Black Swan and that these are those kind of unforeseen events that create big dips and fluctuations in the money system and in the economy. And so, Scott, I want to talk about for a second, you know, a lot of people are having a personal black swan, if you will, right? That if they're living paycheck to paycheck, or even if they're employed by corporate or they have jobs or they have some investments, there's a lot of fear around money and around cash, because potentially for the next month or two, or we don't even know how long, their primary sources of income might not be as robust as they were. And in some cases, especially a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs are seeing, like if you own a bookstore or if you're in a, you have a coaching practice, like people don't want to buy things right now because there's all this uncertainty about where money's coming from in the future. So we were just talking over the break over some creative ideas that we could share about potential ways to get access to cash if you need it. So what would you say to someone that's having a personal black swan and some ways they might look to get some cash?
Yeah, I would say it really depends on, I guess, on the level of emergency that it might be. And I guess for everybody, yeah. I'm not sure what that would be, but everybody has it. I mean, if you're going to lose your house or you got to miss a payment for a month or two or long term, that would be considered a bit heavy emergency. And so if you have IRAs, and even though you're not 59 and a half, let's play the worst case scenario. If you think it'll only be 2 or 3 months and you have to get money out of your IRA, yes, you'll pay a 10% penalty. It's just taxed. And yeah, you'll have income tax on it, but you may not be at a high enough bracket that you really are paying much tax or penalty on it at all. That might be a great way to save your house. If you've worked at a company or you've had old 401ks and they're still at the company and you're over 55, you can access your 401k without the 10% penalty. You cannot do that with an IRA, but 401k. So you could still borrow if you want to pay it back, and or just take a distribution and you'll pay income tax again on it. This is the time, I guess, when people reassess that emergency funds or cash funds are more important than starting, you know, if they got $2,000, it's better to leave $2,000 in the bank, totally protected, totally accessible, instead of trying to put it in the market and now it's worth $1,500 as a small example. But that's what happens when the market gets so crazy. And people don't have enough guidance to go, well, baby steps, got to have enough cash flow, get a little emergency first, then start stepping out for the future. But you got to have the what if. Your own little mini black swan could be just you're sick. Forget this virus. You're sick and you have to miss work, or you're sick long enough that your job lays you off and you've got your own little black swan. So, I mean, those are some of the ones. I mean, you could always do a home equity line if you already have one. You still might be able to get one if in fact you need money for some other reason, but you still have jobs that and you have equity in your home that a bank is, you know, willing to lend you money. Outside of that, there aren't a lot of things, but again, it might be a thing to think about in the future of where do we go from here? And the first thing we're going to build a nest egg that we're not ever dipping into for the new car we want or the extra stuff. It's the not extra. It you got to define for your own family what emergency is. An emergency isn't I need that new thing.
That's really good advice. When I first moved to California, my dad always lived in the Midwest and they never made a lot of money on real estate. So his belief about real estate was you buy it because you want a roof over your head and you don't want a landlord, right? You know, it wasn't investment. It wasn't a moneymaker. And I'm in California watching all these people making money off real estate. And I stayed out of the market and didn't buy anything when I could have afforded to. And if I had gone in 10 years earlier than I did, I went back and calculated based on statistics of what my friends earned, what I might have paid for a property and how much I might have made off of it, you know, in equity, I probably would have another $1 million in my pocket. And so just thinking about that is like, okay, some of us are, I'm almost 59 and a half, but some of us are at that age. What are we going to do now? I don't get to be 30 and 20 again and start over again. You know, one of the things that you taught me is some of these other investments or instruments, one of the important reasons for being in them, like an annuity, is it doesn't ride like the market does, that there's a rider in there that actually protects your principal. Because when Regan and I had that conversation with you about we aren't ever going back to work, ever, like ever, that's not what we want, that became part of our strategy. But a few years ago, if you remember, I called you because I had a financial need and I could take a loan off of that annuity. And it was at a very low interest rate. But with a phone call, I got a check for 25 grand, you know, and so I could slowly pay that back as I needed to, which I did. But those are the kinds of things where sometimes having these investments, it's more than just your retirement. It also gives you some emergency options. Like you were saying with a IRA, sometimes if you've had an IRA long enough, they'll give you a little grace where they won't penalize you for taking out $5,000 or whatever the amount accumulated is. So go look at your documents or call them and ask. You'll have to pay taxes on it, but sometimes you have access to money you wouldn't ever have access to. And definitely credit cards, last resort, but if you have to keep your house, go there, right?
Right.
So anything else that you would say about that? Like ways to get cash?
No, I mean that's kind of the exhaustion of that to go. I mean, it's obviously hard to go get emergency money when you're in the middle of the emergency. It's like you want to go get health insurance and you're 9 months pregnant. They're not going to do that. Or you want life insurance and you're got cancer. Right? I mean, it's when we need it, but you have to prepare sadly for some of these things, hoping you'll never need it. You know, it's like, we try and plan for the worst in our plans for people and hope for the best and think for the best, but we try and cover all the what ifs and the black swan. We don't know what that is, but we try and put her. So some of those safety things, like for you and Regan, was an income strategy that no matter what happens is guaranteed to work. We didn't know exactly the amounts, but they came out even better than we thought.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes they come out a little lower, but bottom line is they're there.
Yeah.
And they're not as fun during the crazy bull markets. You're like, oh, what a coulda, shoulda. Maybe I could make a little more. But you look back and go, ooh, that's our sleeping money.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't expect my husband to die. Right?
Exactly.
Like that was a shocker to everybody. And we were in a position where that didn't put me on the edge of financial disaster. And so whether you have enough money right now to be in the stock market or not, or make investments or not, or buy any of these instruments that might give you cash flow later in life or not, or you're living paycheck to paycheck. The message here is that you do want to prepare, live within your means, and really start to be smart about your future versus the bright, shiny object that might really put you in a challenge in your future. And the other thing that I would say, and I've done this for myself before, and I say this to everybody, you can also call your credit cards and negotiate. So don't hesitate to negotiate. If you're a business owner, don't hesitate to negotiate rent. Don't hesitate to negotiate with your vendors, extended payment terms, right? Like try everything because everybody's in this bucket together. And I'll tell you, in the last 24 hours, I have heard some of the most incredible stories of heroism around, you know, business owners being granted 50% rent for a couple of months by the people who owned the property they were leasing for their businesses. because they understood how financially challenging of a time this would be. So I think this is one of those, we got to come together, but I think you also got to ask for what you need. Not a time to be shy about trying to negotiate and trying to help yourself out a little bit. And especially if you're one of those people living paycheck to paycheck, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because there's a lot of the people who live like that. You're the guys that are giving us the services and the benefits that we love to have. And so I acknowledge you, I applaud you, and I honor you. I do. I mean that to the bottom of my heart. And part of the reason I'm doing this show is to elevate that, right? And elevate you to know that you didn't get off at some train station and you're stuck there. And so the opportunity here, regardless of net worth or regardless of income level, is to really assess what matters to you from the inside out. Everybody that listens to me knows that my come from is about well-being. And so if your well-being matters to you, this is an opportunity to get smart about your money so that your well-being is taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, and I chose the one I do because I love serving other people. I mean, it happens to be in the money field, but it's still service. And right now, in my field, isn't fun being in my spot and talking to people and, you know, consoling and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's what's part of it. I mean, very few people in the brokerage world do this. And I'm not thinking they're bad people. It's not how they're taught. It's not what they do. They collect assets and make money, and the clients do make money, but at what expense and at what cost and at what risk? And what are they doing now? Probably not much, and not being proactive in any way. And so now's a chance to really, not that your person is bad, but reevaluate what can you expect from working with somebody? What do you want to have? And see if that person has really lived up to that or not. It doesn't make them bad, but you might poke around and find out if there are other people that would live up to that and find out or ask the questions about who you are as a person, not just I think here's the issue too that happens. Everybody talks about fees for management, right? And I would call it price. I kind of call it price. What's the price of doing business with each person? And many people obviously are after the lowest price. But here's where it shines right now or shows right now, sadly, is the price might be the lowest, but at what cost did you pay the lowest price in the concessions of giving up benefits, not having protection in your portfolio?
You're talking about the costs of like what you get paid to manage the money. Like people say they don't want to pay a fee. They want zero fees.
Yes.
But they want somebody to manage and make them money.
Yeah, and they assume
that's
that.
Like, to me, that's talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it's like, what cost are you giving up? Tax planning, reducing your taxes overall. What's your tax plan for your RIRAs and 401ks later? What's your income plan? What is all those plans? Or did you choose the guy because his supposed price was 0.25% more per year? But at what cost was that to you? Hundreds of thousands of dollars right now for some people. In again, not a bad person, not bad people, not bad clients, not bad, but a difference in being a consultant and an advisor and on your team versus just supposedly managing money. And are they really managing their money? You know, our portfolios are down. We're down a third or less of what the market is. Now, we wish we weren't down at all, but that's not. But it's very different. And
so let me interrupt you for a minute. Let me interrupt you for a minute so people are clear what you're talking about. So what Scott's talking about here is the difference between a stockbroker and what would be called a fiduciary by legal terms, which is a fiduciary is licensed to manage your money. A stockbroker is licensed to trade your money. And in the stockbroking world, I'm going to do the dumbed down version here, is what he's talking about is that they actually get paid commissions for buying and selling stock. And so every time they move your money, they get paid. So their incentive is to continually move their money. It's not to make you money. And in Scott's world, he's a fiduciary, not a stockbroker, which is another legal distinction, meaning he has passed extensive tests. He knows all the legal compliance around being able to manage your money and being authentically able to do that. And his motivation is to make you money and to manage a plan based on what those inside goals were and to meet that agenda. Did I get that right? It's when you transitioned into that. I want to make sure people knew what you were talking about.
Yes. And even I'm not going to mention names, even if you just have one of the larger mutual fund companies and you know you got this expense of, say, 0.5%.
Yeah.
I can tell you that the undisclosed fees are 3% on every mutual fund, pretty much 2.5 to 3 in every mutual fund. You don't see it. But let's just say it is only 0.5% and there is no other fee. And ours is, say, 1.5%. I'm going to make it a big disparity. Yeah. But right now you're down 35% and you pay 0.5% versus being down 10% versus it. That could be $200,000 less, but you paid a point more for a couple of years.
You're talking about being penny wise and pound foolish.
Absolutely.
When it comes to fees, because you don't want to pay a fee or you're worried about that coming out of the money that you're putting in as an investment. But what you're missing the point on is that you're not getting the strategy and the management that most people don't have the time, the energy, or the education to do properly.
Yes. Yes. And all the other educational things that go with it, like staying up on taxes and why we have a Tax Secure Act right now.
Oh, good Lord. Have a CPA and stop it already.
Yeah. So there's all of that too, that is a cost. If we save you a few hundred thousand in income tax over your lifetime, was that worth a little bit more of what? So all that comes with, we still just charge the same way everybody does, a percentage of assets, but you get all that to hopefully keep you have more money. It's price. I try to name it price versus cost, or what concessions are you giving up? Probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not that you should be foolish and overpay. I'm not saying that. But what do you get? And what do you assume you're getting management-wise? And what would you like to get from an advisor?
Yeah. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. And that's the key. One, I think you should have a financial advisor, a fiduciary. And two, I think you should know what you want from them. When you think about this inner yearning that you have about how you want to have your financial future look, part of that is, who do you want on your team and what characteristics do you want that partner to have? I want somebody who listens to me, who gets me. Not once since that conversation that you and Regan and I had at our kitchen table in Anaheim, have you ever wavered on ever delivering exactly what we told you at that time and helped us even clarify it even more clearly? It became an intention, which became a strategy, which became a money-making system that also kept me from the edge of financial disaster when my personal swan, my personal black swan hit when my husband died suddenly, instantly, unpredictably, and unbeknownst to all of us.
Yes.
And we know he's here. And so we're going to take a quick break. And this has been a phenomenal conversation about ways you can access cash and ways to be smart in your decision making when you think something's costing you something, and assessing appropriate risk and assessing appropriate profit. And so we're leaving you with the thought that you want a financial advisor, you're going to pay fees, but you get the right person on your team who knows how to manage the strategy to make you more than what you expected. Those fees are well earned. And so with that, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back on Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman and Scott Werner.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you meeting your sales goals? Or maybe your business plan could use a dose of the divine? Tune in to Divinely Driven Results with faith-based business coach Elise Smith on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Coach Elise Smith helps listeners get unstuck from their business plateau and become empowered through divine guidance. Build up belief in yourself and your dreams, and learn business strategies that work for you for real lasting results. Learn more by visiting www.DivinelyDrivenResults.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there. But when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
How many times do you find yourself saying, "It was nothing," or "just doing my job," when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you "great job," you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Welcome back to Richly Abundant Women. We just have a few more minutes left. I'm here. I am Julie Steelman, and I am here with Scott Warner. He is my financial advisor, and I want to share his email address with you because I know a lot of you have a lot of questions. I'm seeing the Facebook and my Instagram and my texts blowing up right now. So that is Scott, S-O-T-T, at lifedesignfinancial.com. That's Scott at lifedesignfinancial.com. He'll be happy to help you out, talk to you, potentially answer some questions. So Scott, before we end tonight, I kind of want to talk a little bit about, let's talk about the economy in general. Like, what are, you know, when we think about the stock market, we can get so like laser focused in on what happens in a day, what happens in an hour. But then over long-term trends, our financial system in America is typically very healthy in the long term.
Yes.
Now, I know we have a lot of very odd circumstances. We're in an election year. We have a very polarizing person in the White House, regardless of which side of that you're on. The choices for candidates are polarizing, regardless of which side of that you're on. And then yeah. We have this virus that we're all still, you know, really trying to digest what just happened to our life and how surreal and how fast everything just radically and rapidly changed. So let's talk about how can we really take a step back and assess what's happening in the economy so that this isn't one of the big, humongous stressors of all the other things that we have to deal with right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, this one, as people would say, is, oh, this is different. Well, it might be different in how fast it's happened. But if you look back at bear markets, because officially right now...
Okay, wait. What's a bear and bull market?
So bull market is when we're just going up at over 20% over the time period. And a bear market is when the Dow Jones index has dropped 20%. So it's just an economic number. It doesn't mean that it'll stay there. Although if we have a typical bear market, they're 14 months, 15 months in on average. But this is a different one in the saying that it's happened really fast as far as the technical numbers.
Yeah.
But if we truly are getting out ahead of this virus thing, which is possible, we'll know in 2 to 4 weeks of, you know, did we shorten it? I mean, what they're saying right now is China's at, you know, whatever, 100,000 some odd people, and they're already the hump, or they flattened out their curve. Doesn't mean not a lot more people are going to get it, but they slowed the increase down. So we just don't know. But because before this happened, job reports for good, everything about the economy was still booming after a fantastic stock market year last year. But this will, in fact, hurt because businesses truly are losing money right now.
Yes,
and will.
It
doesn't magically come back. But also, I believe, be all kinds of discounts and great rates, and people will go back to spending money and doing all that. And we could have a much faster recovery. So like the 2008 bubble that burst with a, you know, kind of a black swan, kind of a bubble happening with the mortgage meltdown, you know, took 8 years for people's accounts to get back. Well, a lot of that was probably because it was so inflated on an economy that really wasn't as real. Well, this one has been quite real on many statistics. And so maybe this takes a year or two to come back to where we were, or at least gets in that right momentum. And so the assessment would be right now is how long can you hang on? Do you need this money tomorrow? If you need cash flow, then take some out, but reassess. And maybe it doesn't necessarily mean the things that you were in that got you to where you were before are the best things to be in to get you back. But I don't know without assessing everybody's goals and the time frame and all those things. So in general, you know, a typical bear market would be, bull markets are typically three to five years. Well, we just had one officially that ended with 11 plus years. But it ended on this black swan interesting thing, or it might have gone a little while longer. And then maybe a slower recession, not a big bang recession like the dot-com thing or the mortgage meltdown. But keep in mind where the mortgage meltdown took us all the way down to 6,000 points on the Dow, 6,000 something in 08, and it got all the way up to almost 30,000. It took 115 years to go from zero to 14,000 in 2008, back down to 6,000 by the end of 2009, and then all the way up. So unprecedented times, but I've seen a lot of people's beliefs that it will just continue to keep going. But we just don't know where it's going to bottom out. And if you don't need the money right now, then probably jumping off a cliff is not a good idea or to get out. But yet, maybe reassessing who you're working with and what you have and why you have it and the goods and bads and assessing your risk is a great time to maybe plan a little more than just speculate.
Okay. So I'm hearing a couple things in here. So some stuff that people can do now is like, I think that there's a mindset, regardless of whether you're in the market or not in the market, right? And there's a mindset economically about it's either good or it's bad. It's either going up or it's going down. Going up is good. Going down is bad. And none of that feels good. None of us want to lose any money. Okay. Like totally got that. Not trying to say that at all.
Right.
But there's an opportunity here. I think what Scott is sharing with you, even if you're not in the stock market directly, but is to think about your money in a different way. And is to really take an honest look inside at what it is that you really want to be experiencing financially and what is your money really for. And then based on what that is and what your circumstances are, really doing an honest assessment of, is it, you know, what's at stake? Like what's at risk? For my husband and I, it was like going back to work. That for both of us was like, oh, hell no. Like that was a big at risk for us, right? And so everybody has their own version of that. You don't have to have my version of it, but everybody has their own version of it. And this is an opportunity to kind of really reevaluate your relationship with your money, to move into a high intelligence and smart way of being with your money, and to look at something like as a big epic purchase. Oh, I'm just going to make it up, but like a Peloton bike or something. Does that put you at risk? Is that really worth it, right? Are there other opportunities? Would that $2,500 do something for you in a different kind of way, maybe later in life, or get you something that gives you way more value than that, right? And I know we all want stuff, but are also the U.S. economy specifically is geared around creating desire for things we don't necessarily have the money to buy. And so there's a lot of consumerism, and that's not bad and wrong. And I think the opportunity is to really appreciate what we do have and to honor and cherish and respect it at an even higher level. And when we hit reentry with this whole thing, is to come out the other side with a higher level of intelligence and a smarter way of being with our money strategically, whether you do that with a fiduciary or not, whether you're in the stock market or not, whether you have an IRA or not, or whether you live paycheck to paycheck, what Scott's sharing here is a theory and a way of focusing in regards to your money that'll really actually change your financial destiny, because it's about having well-being and not being, I think, as frivolous and as loose and as easy as maybe we have been with our money, because we just go with the economy. It's good, so we're good. It's not good, so we're not good. I don't think we want to be in that situation anymore.
Right. I think you got to make it personal, and if you do, and if you are listening and you do have a plan, then remind yourself, or go back to the person you're planning with and remind yourself that this just stalled your plan a little bit, but don't forget all the
it
other
things. It didn't kill your plan.
Yeah. If you got tax planning done and you got income planning done and investment planning and your vacation budget and all these things already kind of done, this puts a little bummer in it.
Yeah.
But don't just remember why you did the plan and probably paying someone a little more to help guide you along that way. But as I said, it's a great time for second opinion.
Yeah.
Pre-consultation, second opinion, just to kick the can around and find out if someone would ask you the questions we would ask or that I try and ask are questions that you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Because it's about goals first, and then there's tools, but then we figure out the strategies first, and it's just the tools plug in the holes and pluses and minuses of comfort and risk that go there. And some will get you faster there with risk.
Yeah.
Like when you guys said your goal was, we ain't never going back to work. Okay, we can't rely on mega stock market money for that. We had to have guaranteed safe like to produce. You just can't do it the other way. Unless you got 10 million and you can lose 50% and 5 million and not throw your lifestyle off, that's different. But for most people that end up having middle America, 500 to a million, little pension, little Social Security, maybe paid off home, basic America, man, you can't take 50% risks.
Nope.
All right. The whole plan's blown off.
This has been phenomenal. Thank you for this enlightening. I know some things were like for people, you know, and some of it is like really spot on. We just want you guys to be empowered. That's why we did this. So yes. Scott's email address is scott@lifedesignfinancial.com. And if you're really struggling around this, you can go to moneystorybreakthrough.com, which is where you give me your email address and we will immediately send to you a fun little PDF that you can work through to shift your entire money dialogue. This is a great time to do this when we're looking at out into the world and all it seems to be is evidence of doom and gloom, and see what might be your opportunity here. And with that, before we wrap up, I want to ask you, what's the thought that you would leave people with so they feel really empowered, even though it's crazy train out there?
Try not to panic. I guess I would say be smart about the virus, obviously from a safety health perspective, we know. But maybe shut off more of the news, that now that you figured it out, now that we know this sucker is not good, turn on a couple of the CDC or some of the people that we can probably trust and not panic. There's plenty of food. There's going to be plenty of food. Just be smart about it and reassess your values of financial values and internal values, and see if the money and the places that you had and thing are aligned. And probably they're not for most people. This is a time to really, don't be fearful, but yet take it as a time to learn and move forward and grow.
Yeah, it's about learning and growing.
Sadly, I know as a parent and having kids, it's like, being a child of parents, it's like, oh, you just don't learn things without things being hard. I mean, sadly, they stick a lot better when you had to earn it, figure it out, and try it again. And so, this thing will recover. We will get past it. They're on it as best we can, and it's just a lot of it's out of our control. But you can control you and the people you're with and the things you think about and assess things and be with friends and get online and talk to people and stay together. And isolation is not my favorite thing.
Yep.
So, we're not trying to be that way. So get on you know, FaceTime or get on Skype so you can see each other and do it. And reach out to me if you want. I mean, I'm here.
So we're going to wrap up there. Thank you, Scott. A wealth of information. You can reach Scott at scott@lifedesignfinancial.com. You can also go to www.moneystorybreakthrough.com. And I'm Julie Steelman signing off with this episode of Richly Abundant Women and Scott Werner, who was so gracious in joining us. I hope that we've left you with some food for thought, some love, some care, some empowerment, and knowing that your financial aspirations start on the inside. And that's a wrap for tonight on Richly Abundant Women.
Thank you for listening to Richly Abundant Women on TransformationTalkRadio.com. It's time to change your financial destiny. Head on over to JulieSteelman.com for even more insight into your relationship with money, wealth, and prosperity. As a pioneering change maker, it's time to break free of the making just enough money trap. Take the Blooming Rose Money Quiz and discover exactly how to align your mission, money, and mindset. Discover the savvy secrets to building a radiant financial future based on your vision and values. Your paradigm of success is there for the making. Start the journey today to living richly abundant.